Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 66. Psalm number 66. And we sing the opening verses 1 to 6. Well, let us read, first of all, this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 3, the Gospel by John, this famous passage in chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles or signs that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And so on. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read these famous, familiar words again, we are reminded of some of the greatest utterances of the gospel. And we're reminded also of some of the greatest needs of our fallen human nature, and the great challenge and the great consolation, always coming from the same source, the written scripture, spoken at the first by our Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles and the prophets of old, and written down for our learning, and written until the end of time, so that the world might know what the gospel is, and who Christ is, and what he has come to achieve, and what we must do in order to be brought back to God and saved from our sins, saved from the power and the penalty and the appalling darkness that sin has wrought upon us. So as we begin this morning, help us, we pray, to appreciate afresh the message of Christ to Nicodemus and the confusion of Nicodemus concerning these things, and the need to have spiritual rebirth and renewal, regeneration and enlightenment. And so we give thanks, Heavenly Father, that the scripture is very clear, that there is such a thing as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that there is such a glorious reality as a new birth and a new beginning, that there is such a thing as the power of darkness, the reality that sin holds upon our lives. And because we do evil, and the more that we do evil, the less inclined we are to come to the light. And the more we continue in sin, the less and less likelihood is that we will ever come to the light and find our sins exposed and done away, pardoned, through the message of Jesus Christ crucified. Help us as we gather here this morning again to pray that our gathering would be for God's honor and glory, not simply for our good, and we do pray for our good, O God, how much we need the blessing and the power of the gospel in our lives and in our congregations, in these days of confusion, contradictions, wars and rumors of wars, dissension in the churches, backsliding among the people, coldness of heart, concerned increasingly with earthly things and putting the church to the side as a secondary importance only. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be continually praying to the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers, preachers of the gospel, not simply clergymen, men of all parts, professionals, but men of God endowed with the Holy Spirit, men who fear God and who love God, men who love the gospel and who love sinners and who long for the salvation of the lost. men with a vision, men who see the possibilities of a world that can be saved, and the possibilities, the dreadful reality of a world that is lost. To have that compassion for the multitudes that Christ had when he looked at the multitudes and he saw them as pitiable creatures wandering around like sheep without a shepherd, and how he was moved and touched in his very innermost being, and his desire and prayer and command to the church is to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers, men who will study the word, study human nature, study their own hearts and the hearts of others, and men who will be speaking and doing in such a manner that there will be a harvest for the Lord. And so we pray this as our prayer again this morning, O God, because as we look at the churches, as we look at our own denomination, we see decline, we see discouragement, we see members drifting and melting away, as it were, and we see sometimes office bearers living by rules rather than by the gospel, more interested in the traditions of the fathers and more concerned to be, as it were, maintaining an organization than entering into the life of a living body, the Church of Jesus Christ. We confess that we have played our part in the decline. We have contributed to it, O God, because we have not prayed as we ought. We have not loved the world for Christ as we ought. We have not welcomed strangers as we ought. We have not helped the needy as we ought. We have not spoken kind words to those who are out of the way as we ought. We have not reached out a helping hand to the hungry as we ought. And we have looked upon the world with a measure of contempt and imagined that we somehow by nature are different. Heavenly Father, deliver us, we pray, for the sins of self-deception. We pray that we would enter into the light of the gospel, perhaps in a new way that we have never known before. And maybe we too will be surprised when our hearts are strangely warmed. And we too may be surprised by joy and by love. We pray for those who are not able to gather with us this morning. We know some who are on holiday this long weekend, some who are out of town visiting families and friends. We know of some who are laid aside in sickness and some who are concerned for those who are sick. And so we remember them and pray for them, as we know that some of them at least will be praying for us. And so our gracious Heavenly Father, help us now to bow low and to worship the Holy God of heaven, and to know that in this gathering, there is the promise of Christ that where even two or three are gathered together, he is there in the midst. And we claim that promise and we rejoice in it and we give honor and glory to our God and our Father in heaven. And always and only we pray for God's glory, for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done, and for God's name to be hallowed in our midst now. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read further in John's Gospel in chapter 7 and reading at verse 45. In John's Gospel, chapter 7, at verse 45, Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? That is, they were sent to capture Jesus, you remember. They didn't bring him. Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spoke like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who know not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And then finally in John's Gospel, chapter 19, and the closing verses of the chapter 19 in John's Gospel, at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And so on. Amen. Well, we remind you of these notices, very brief notices this morning. Our evening service, of course, at 6 o'clock this evening. Our Wednesday meeting, of course, at 7 p.m. And next Lord's Day, the usual hours, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We welcome visitors, of course, we always do, and we're glad to see you with us. And we now will receive the offering. Let us continue now in Psalm number 66. From verse number 7, we sing to verse 14. These verses 7 to 14.